Good morning to you, National Presbyterian, this wonderful church. I'm grateful for the opportunity and privilege to come back to this beautiful sanctuary and to you, very fine people. Thanks for the opportunity to come once again. Let us pray. Come now, O Lord, in power and in might. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. And lead us not into temptation. I want to speak briefly this morning from that prayer that the Lord himself taught his disciples to pray. It can also be found in Luke. It is a prayer that runs the risk of losing its import and effectiveness simply because it is so familiar to so many of us. Prayer can take basically three forms. It can take the form of petition. It can take the form of intercession. It can take the form of thanksgiving. And the prayer before us this morning that first came to us from the lips of Jesus, it is a prayer of seven petitions. The first three petitions are directed toward God. Our Father who art in heaven, let your name be holy. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. The remaining four petitions are directed toward humankind. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then it closes on a doxological note. It ends in praise. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And amen means in this particular instance, indeed so. That's the way it is. Sure enough. Or as we say in Texas, sure enough. I want to focus our attention upon the sixth petition in this prayer. And lead us not into temptation. At first glance, this sixth petition could appear to be too personal for this kind of public reflection and explication. For some, the mere mentioning of it seems to be an unwarranted intrusion into the lives of mature people of faith. You can almost hear people saying, we don't need anybody preaching to us about temptation. We've been there and done that. But when one considers that humans at their best are some odd mixture of dust and divinity. Humans at their best are some strange assemblage of treasure and trash. When one considers that in all of us there is a healthy smattering of gold and garbage, then you can understand why Jesus inserted this sixth petition into the lineup of his model prayer. There is not a person living who at some point in his or her life has not felt the pull of the tempter's snare. Each and every day of our lives, we are exposed to temptation and assault. I'm in the Washington, D.C. area this morning, and I will confess to you that I have read and watched with some interest the plight of those lawmakers who appear to be caught up, who have fallen victim to the very laws that they themselves had a hand in writing. Each and every day of our lives, we are exposed to temptation. We are beset by it, behind and before. It covers all human life, and it calls us into question on every hand. In spite of all of our efforts to avoid it, we can never completely steer clear of temptation. We are confronted and challenged by temptation at every turn, and we never cease to meet and re-meet temptation in our lives. I was in seminary now almost 25 years ago with a woman who at that time had just entered her 50s, and she is now in her mid-70s, and she told me a little while ago that she went back home to Georgia to a funeral, and she said to me that while she was looking around at the funeral that morning, all of a sudden her eyes caught the eyes of a man with whom she had been madly in love over 50 years ago. And she's in her mid-70s when she's telling me this. And she said, "Cleo, when my eyes caught his eyes, my heart skipped an extra beat." We never cease to meet and re-meet temptation in our lives. It is the constant presence of temptation that makes so many of us feel that we have not made much progress on this Christian journey. Some 20 years ago now, they interviewed the famed evangelist Billy Graham on one of the national news shows. This man who has preached to millions all over the world said on television that night that he often felt like a failure because of the many temptations that he had confronted and continues to confront in his life. Billy Graham said so often he felt like a failure because of the many temptations that he had confronted and continues to confront in his life. It is the constant presence of temptation that reminds all of us that at best we have only been partially successful in our walk before God. Why is temptation so difficult for us to withstand? And why are we so poor at resisting these enticements to do evil, to do wrong, to do that which harms others and even harms ourselves? Well, one reason temptation is so difficult to withstand is because temptation often comes to us disguised as something good. Evil has a deceptive quality to it. Often we do wrong because we do not always recognize that it is wrong, and most certainly not recognize immediately the consequences of our wrongdoing. And often we fail to do good because we do not always recognize what is good. Evil has a deceptive quality to it. It shines, it attracts, it fascinates, it intrigues. You would think that when we would come into the presence of evil, we would be immediately repulsed by it. You would think that when we come into the presence of what is wrong and harmful, we would find it so obnoxious that we would try to remove ourselves immediately. But not so. Because evil, wrongdoing, what is harmful, has a deceptive quality. It attracts, glitters, shines. Just think about what people say. Think about what we say when we are tempted. We said, oh, it looked so good. It felt so good. It tasted so good. It smelled so good, because there is a deceptive quality. There was a man who had eaten himself into poor health. Went to the doctor. The doctor put him on a strict diet. He said, beginning Sunday, you will only be able to eat 2 slices of wheat toast without any butter or anything else on it, half a cup of cottage cheese, and 2 slices of melon. And his loving wife saw to it that he held to his diet. And that Sunday morning, she fixed his breakfast, 2 slices of wheat toast, half a cup of cottage cheese, 2 slices of melon, and she slid his plate toward him. And then she turned to fix her breakfast. And it was one of those good old southern breakfasts. She made homemade biscuits, cut them out with a jelly glass, and rolled them across the butter and flipped them over so they would turn brown when she put them in the oven. And she cracked a couple of yard eggs and got a few thick slices of bacon and reached up into the cupboard and grabbed a jar of preserves, and fresh jar that still had the lemon wedge in the bottom, and sat down to eat. And he looked at her. He said, I want some of your breakfast. She said, no, this breakfast is killing you. You need what you have. He said, I still want it. And that is the way it is. Even when we know something is harmful, even when we know something is eventually killing us, we find it difficult to withstand because of the deceptive quality, whatever it is. One of the many names for the tempter in Scripture is Lucifer. Lucifer is based on the Latin word for light. It's where we get our word lunar and lunatic. His very name means that which shines, glitters, attracts. Temptation is not only difficult to withstand because evil has a deceptive quality to it. Temptation is also difficult to withstand because good has a deceptive quality to it. What is good for us often lacks immediate or initial attraction and appeal. Temptation is difficult to withstand because it has a goodness, has a deceptive quality to it. In the church in Texas that I served in for 10 years, there was a dear old saint of God who played the organ in that church for 65 years. And I thought she had a saintly life, and I still believe that. She was a wonderful, wonderful example of a Christian woman, especially in her senior years. And often I would say that to her, you are just a model of what we hope to be when we get to your age. And she would say, oh, preacher, don't fool yourself. She said, when I was a young woman, my mother often told me that I didn't have any man sense. My mother often told me that the man I wanted was not good for me, and the man that was good for me is not the man I wanted. And that's the way it is sometimes. And sometimes it takes the experience of being fooled, of being misled, or even being hurt before we recognize that what we thought was to be rejected was actually good for us. And that which we so deeply and desperately desired was in fact hideous and ruinous and hurtful for us. Was it not that way with Jesus? The scripture said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. The cornerstone that was rejected became the chief cornerstone, because good has a deceptive quality to it. Temptation is also difficult to withstand because it comes at us from our left and it comes at us from the right. When temptation comes at us from our left, it comes at us from a position of weakness. When we have suffered blow after blow of misfortune, when nothing goes well and the future looks bleak, seems helpless and hopeless, from a position of weakness, we begin to doubt God's goodness and mercy, and we begin to question his presence and direction in our lives. From a position of weakness, we are made to feel that it couldn't get any worse, so why not just give in? From a position of weakness, sometimes in sickness, in financial difficulties, long-standing personal problems, misfortune on the job, slanderous attacks from people who do not like us. From a position of weakness, we are often tempted to give in. But temptation also comes at us from the right. And when temptation comes at us from the right, it comes from a position of strength. And often we are tempted from a position of strength. This comes to people in high visibility, people who are in leadership, people of authority, people who are successful, people who are doing well, are often tempted from their strength. People love to be around a winner. People love to be around those who are on top. John Kennedy said, success has 1,000 fathers, but failure is an orphaned child. When we are tempted from our strength, we look around and we say, as good as God has been to me, I ought to be able to say anything, to do anything, to have anything or anyone that I want. When we are tempted from our strength, we become arrogant, self-centered, and self-righteous. And we actually begin to believe that we deserve the things that God has so graciously bestowed upon us when we are tempted from our strength, from the right side. Bernie Madoff was tempted from his strength as his Ponzi scheme fooled more and more people. He was tempted to continue from his strength. Temptation is hard to withstand because it comes at us from the left and it comes at us from the right. How we need to hear this sixth petition from Jesus this morning. It is a prayer for divine aid and assistance from the traps of temptation that lurk at every step. Lead us not into temptation. It literally means, do not lead us into an enticement that you know we cannot bear. Do not allow us to come under the spell of temptation, unprepared and helpless. Do not allow the tempter to unleash his forces of destruction in our lives, but blunt the tempter's power and provide for us a way of escape. How we need to hear this prayer, how we need to pray this prayer, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Save us, Lord, from our time of trial. Save us because only you can. Save us because you've already been to Calvary and you know how much we can bear. And lead us not into temptation. And the people of God said, Amen.